Hello and welcome to week two of the Campus Chimes, the sports podcast from the Ohio State Lantern Media Group. My name is Grant Miller. I'm your host, and alongside me for our first segment today to talk some Ohio State men's hockey is Matt McGreevy. Matt, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Good to have you in studio. Ohio State men's hockey, as we mentioned last week, opened up the season over the weekend against a top five ranked Providence team and did pretty well, winning their first game on Friday night 5-4 in overtime before falling in overtime on Saturday 2-1. Matt, you were there to both broadcast and cover the game. So, you know, what were some things you took away from Ohio State's first two contests?
I thought special teams-wise, they looked pretty good. They converted 9 of 8 power play opportunities, were perfect on the penalty kill. So I think the reason they were able to have the kind of success they did was because they had so many different guys contributing. I know we're going to get into the freshman later, but Matthew Weiss was a guy that was really helping out on the man advantage. They even had him playing the point in a few situations. As far as the penalty kill went, they kind of stifled the Friars' opportunity to move the puck and throw things on net. So Buckeyes did well on both sides of the coin in that respect. They did get contributions from a lot of guys. If you look at Friday night, it was a hat trick from Anthony Greco that kind of led the team. Tanner Fritz had 2 goals and 2 assists in that game. Saturday night was much more of a tight checking affair. It wasn't as freewheeling, and when you come off a 9-goal game, it's kind of hard to get a follow-up performance. But scoring was there on Friday night, and Saturday, again, another good game, but they just fell, 2-1, and that'll happen.
Yeah, and you talked about Weiss. I saw that you asked Coach Rolick after the game, if he expected to give him that much playing time, and he just kind of thought it was kind of natural for how he was playing. Are you surprised? I mean, again, we're only a couple of games into the year, but are you surprised that they're already trusting him with that very important position, kind of like, as you said, quarterbacking the power play and kind of being their point man?
Yeah, I am. It's interesting to bring that up because when you look at it from a hockey perspective, watching teams, watching the sport, you kind of don't expect to see a first-year come into that position, especially to get extra time on the power play, let alone the time he played at even strength. But I thought it was surprising the amount of playing time they gave him. But then if you look at the way Ohio State's structured this year and the mentality they have going into the season, which is using their depth, it's not all that surprising. I mean, they rolled 4 lines and gave them pretty equal playing time. I mean, I'm sure the line of Tanner Fritz saw more playing time than Chad Nittery and Matt Johnson, but still, everyone kind of got into the game. Everyone made some good contributions. And, yeah, as you said, Weiss is pretty good.
Yeah, and there's a lot of resiliency in Ohio State's play this weekend. I mean, on Friday, they erased 4 1-goal leads and then finally won it in overtime. And then on Saturday, they were down 1-0 again, tied it up again, I believe, in the third period through a goal by Luke Stork, another newcomer getting a big impact. So, I mean, that was, for me, reading along, I mean, that was really impactful. They could, play this really, really positive and talented Providence team with some new guys coming into the Ohio State program and come back from a few deficits to actually, get a pretty good weekend out of it.
Yeah, 4 1-goal deficits in that game. That was huge. And you bring up the Stork goal. That was a pretty filthy goal, Grant, not going to lie. So Nick Jones has the puck behind the net, does kind of a spinorama move on his man to shake him off, comes out off Gillies' right shoulder, centers one, Stork is right there and just fires it. I mean, it was a ripper. So it's awesome to see those two to be able to step into the position they were in against a number 3 ranked team. And overall, yeah, Buckeyes did pretty well against a team that maybe people didn't expect them to perform as well against.
Yeah, and that definitely comes from a lot of the positive momentum they had towards the end of last season. But we talked about one of the things last week was the goalies, who's going to come out on top. We saw both guys in action. First Fry on Friday night in that 5-4 victory. He had 26 saves but gave up 4 goals. And then Matt Tompkins on Saturday does get the loss, but he had 27 saves, just gave up the 2 goals. I mean, I guess the two guys were in kind of very different positions. Obviously, it's a back-and-forth game on Friday night, but then Saturday night, it's much more of a defensive effort. They needed Tompkins to be that good. But would you say that maybe Tompkins impressed a little bit more?
Tough question. I don't know. I was thinking about this earlier today, and a lot of times when you play 2 different goalies, they have 2 different styles, and I know I touched on that last week, but really didn't see too much of a difference in terms of play. Tompkins' goal that he let in on the overtime winner on Saturday night kind of snuck under his arm. That's one of those where you go, well, maybe you should have had it, but on the flip side, there were four goals against Christian Fry. And
I was going to say, I remember listening in, and I think there maybe the third or fourth Providence goal on Friday was something that kind of maybe got under Fry's pad that he maybe should have had.
So you were our listener then? Is that you're admitting to it?
That's right, yeah. Many people should also tune in to OhioStateSports.net. You guys will have both games this weekend, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Just before we move on there, you're probably referring to the Mingoya goal. What happened there was it was a bad pinch by Drew Breving in the offensive zone, and Providence came in on a 3-on-1 opportunity. Sam Jardine's the lone guy back, so Jardine sprawls out to block a centering pass, just misses it. Mingoya picks it up, and he goes kind of 1-on-1 with Fry. Fry's in a tough position there because he has Trevor Mingoya 3 feet away from him. Mingoya makes a little, you know, Charlie Conway, razzle dazzle. There's your Mighty Ducks reference. And Fry was pretty upset to miss it, but, I mean, it's a breakaway goal off a 3-on-1. In any event, though, I think it's pretty even between the two goalies.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we mentioned Ohio State had a good weekend. They're actually up in the rankings. They weren't ranked before it. The USA Today Coaches One hasn't been released yet, but today USCHO.com released theirs. And Ohio State's at 17, so that's not really too surprising. I mean, they had a very successful and impressive weekend against a very good team, so they're definitely going to do that pretty well. And so Ohio State is actually, Matt alerting me, the USA Today poll is out, and they're at number 15, and then Providence going from 4 to 5. So, I mean, Ohio State, especially towards the end of last season, was knocking on the door of being ranked and never quite got there. I mean, you'd like to think if they won that Big Ten championship game or in the tournament, they obviously would have been. But I mean, I think that's a big statement early in the season because they were getting votes in the preseason, but just 1 week in to be in such high esteem.
I think that kind of shows the fact that the people that were giving them votes, you know, when they're receiving the votes, kind of had an indication of where this team was headed. Even talking to Providence coach Nate Lehman after both games, on both nights he said this team is going to surprise some people, referring to Ohio State. I think that's absolutely accurate. Ohio State isn't going to, I guess I disagree with them because I don't think they are going to surprise a lot of people. I think everyone knows.
I was going to say the same thing. I think they showed a lot of people what they could do, and especially on their first year coach last year, that they have a lot of positive things going forward for them. But I guess looking forward to this weekend, a home-and-home with, I guess you could say, in-state rival, Miami Redhawks, a team who, for all their significant great history, actually didn't make the NCAA tournament last year for the first time since 2005, I believe, which is quite a record to go to it that many times, especially for a school like Miami. They've just built up such a great program, something that I know Ohio State, you know, would like to be up on that same kind of echelon. But, you know, they obviously are going to have – I remember talking to a reporter last year who went to Miami at one of the OSU games, and when you're good for so long, you're going to have a down year. That's just – it just goes in cycles, and, you know, they're kind of already getting back up. They actually, like Ohio State, split their last weekend against Bowling Green. They lost on Friday night in BG 3-2. But then won by the same score in Oxford on Saturday. So what are you really expecting from the Red Hawks this weekend?
Miami has a lot to prove here. They have a really good returning lineup, top five returning scorers, I believe. They have two returning netminders, and a lot of their D is back as well. So really not much of an excuse for things to go the way they did last year with the losing season. As you mentioned, that'll happen from time to time. But then I was surprised that this year they drop a decision to Bowling Green, who's not necessarily a hockey, you know, powerhouse, and that's to take nothing away from the good name of Rob Blake or Kevin Bieksa. But yeah, so Miami's going to have some fire and expect it to come out not only in the game of the shot, but at Goggin as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned those two games, Friday night at 7 here in Columbus, and then Saturday night at 7:05 in Oxford. Will Scarlet and Gray Sports Radio be there for both games?
Both games.
Both games. You can tune in at OhioStateSports.net, and then also look for Matt's recaps later next week. But also you'll be putting out a preview as well for our Lantern editions this week. That'll be in on Thursday or Friday's print edition, I would say, and both online at thelantern.com as well. But again, Matt, thanks for coming in and talking to some Ohio State hockey, and we'll see how the weekend goes.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Matt. All right, well, welcome back. Now we'll turn to some football chat. Obviously, no Ohio State football on the docket from this past weekend, but Still stuff to talk about for this upcoming weekend's game as Ohio State returns home for their first conference home game of the season against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Obviously the first time they'll be facing Rutgers as a member of the Big Ten. Alongside me to talk about it today is the president of Scarlet and Gray Sports Radio and also somebody who covers Ohio State athletics and Blue Jackets hockey, Jeff Hammersley. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing very good, Grant. Happy to be back on this show after such a long time. It's been about 6 months since I've been on this show.
It has, but it'll definitely be a much more recurring thing having you on and just having shows in general. But like we said, talking about Ohio State going up against Rutgers, another one-loss team just like them. Ohio State actually has one fewer win than Rutgers does. Ohio State at 4-1, Rutgers at 5-1, but the odds makers definitely saying Ohio State is the favorite in this one. Jeff, do you think that's a good call?
I think it's a very good call. I think Rutgers, Gary Nova is one of the better quarterbacks, but as we talked before we went live, his interceptions have been a problem. If you're having interception issues, you're coming into Ohio Stadium. The defense has progressively gotten better since Virginia Tech. You get carved alive on national television by the Hokies. They've recovered from that. Each game they've gotten better. But I can't really tell how good they've gotten because they haven't really played anybody great. You play Maryland? Okay. On the road in Maryland, but let's be real here. Maryland was an okay team walking in. Kent State and Cincinnati, middle-of-the-road teams at best.
Middle-road might be a little bit nice on Kent State, but yeah.
But, I mean, Rutgers is a sort of a test. I think the bigger test will be Penn State on the road because it's a nighttime game. Penn State's not that great. They lost to Michigan, I believe, 18-13 this past week?
Yeah.
Ugly game there, but it's a night game. If you have any communication issues walking in, they will be exponentially worse going into Happy Valley and Michigan State. Those will be the two litmus tests we'll see from this Buckeye defense. If they look good in both those games, I think the playoff can come back into the conversation for Ohio State.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a second. But, yeah, the next month or so kind of is in a pattern. Ohio State has their home game against Rutgers, and then, as he mentioned, they travel away to State College the next week to take on Penn State. Week after that, they come back home to face an Illinois team who I saw some people saying last week might be the worst team to ever play under the lights in Ohio Stadium. That's another night game.
Tim Beckman having some tough times there with the Illini.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then the week after that, as you also mentioned, traveling to East Lansing to face Michigan State. And other than this week, this week's at 3:30, and then they have three straight night games. And as you mentioned, two of those on the road. So it's almost interesting for them that they have these less tough, I guess is a nice way of putting it, against Rutgers and against Illinois at home, and then their biggest games of the season at Penn State, at Michigan State. You said the playoffs are still in play, especially with all the crazy losses that we've had, a lot of different upsets, Mississippi State being the number one team in the nation. Basically, no one called that before the season started. So how do you think, I mean, is it just a simple case if Ohio State does win out, they'll be right there, or is there still some pieces that have to move?
There are some pieces that have to move, but they will naturally move, though. Florida State versus Notre Dame, it's a 1-5 matchup. Auburn will play Alabama, so one team will drop there. Mississippi State will play Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl, which will more than likely be for a playoff spot / SEC title opportunity. I think that's the most interesting dynamic. Mississippi State took them 5 weeks ago from unranked to number one. The previous record was Ohio State, 19, mid-60s. Took them 6 weeks to get there.
That's a stat right there.
I think for Mississippi State, I mean, Dan Mullen is doing a fantastic job there. However, the Michigan job, I think, will be enticing. Brandon Beam at Scarlet and Gray Sports Radio, he was the first one to say that I think Dan Mullen's going to Michigan.
After a couple of us suggested Tom Brady.
I think that's a legitimate possibility now. I thought Mississippi State, they'll be okay, but they have surpassed my expectations. Mullen has the connection with Urban Meyer.
That's right.
There's a potential chance that this becomes Bo versus Woody Part 2, except it's Meyer versus Mullen.
Well, but again, we don't want to speak too quickly. I'm sure you would have the flashbacks to 2011 after Michigan beat Ohio State. The Bo-Woody comparisons were being rolled out for Meyer and Hoke. We all know how that's gone.
Well, the thing was with Luke Fickell, though. That was the issue.
You're right about that. But then even the next year, the game was still pretty decently close in 2012 when Ohio State went unbeaten. So I think people still kind of thought that would be them.
Even though Michigan's terrible this season, they've never, when they played Urban Meyer, when Hoke's taken Meyer, it's never been a runaway. the two times Ohio State's won, it's been if Michigan scores one more touchdown or hits a two-point conversion, they win the game. I mean, I think this season's game, I mean, last season I thought it was going to be a two-touch and Ohio State's car walk into the Big House, stomp over Michigan, roll into the Big Ten title game.
And it wasn't.
No.
I remember thinking the same thing that, you know, obviously, oh, you can say, oh, well, it's a rivalry game, anything could happen. But I thought before coming in that just because of it was a rivalry game, Ohio State was never going to let it get that close. They were going to be way too focused.
Yeah.
But obviously we were completely wrong, and it's kind of funny that I even get confused about Fickell and stuff. That's how much I've kind of erased that 2011 season from my mind. But, yeah, that would be really interesting. And you mentioned Alabama and Mississippi State. You know, they play each other. You know, they play each other on November 15th. I mean, the SEC is, at least so far, playing to the script of what someone like Ohio State wanted to do, which is eat each other alive, in essence.
The SEC is going to it's cannibalizing itself. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's just, I mean, you have four or five teams in the top 10.
It makes for great football.
Every week, you're playing for really top-tier talent. This is why the SEC does so well in the BCS, back in the BCS era, and even the national championship. When you play that kind of competition week in, week out, you roll in the title game, it's another weekend. But for a team like Ohio State in 06, I mean, they ran right into a buzzsaw against that Florida team.
Yeah, oh, and that kind of started it all in effect. But Ohio State, as you mentioned, going into this game, still with some questions to be asked on the defensive side of the ball. Today, Rutgers coach Kyle Flood did say on his teleconference that he thinks Joey Bosa is one of the best players. Ohio State defensive lineman Joey Bosa is one of the best players in the country, any position, which I think we could really both go along with. I mean, he had a monster game a couple weeks ago against Maryland, and he seems to just be growing in confidence with every passing week.
Well, I think with Bosa, I mean, if you're an offensive lineman, or even if you're a blocker, you need to know where he's at on that field, because he will basically slide away, fight himself away from the line, and find your quarterback. I think that's a big problem coming this week for Rutgers. If you leave Gary Nova exposed to a Bosa hit that pressures him in the pocket, you're asking for interceptions, you're asking for fumbles, you're asking for sacks. But more importantly, now you're asking yourself to be in second and long, third and long, and come into Ohio State. You cannot do that, especially.
No.
It's not a noon game. It's a 3:30 game, a little bit more tenser environment, more electrified environment. Not an 8 o'clock game, but it's not a noon game. And I think if you're Rutgers, you can't put yourself in a deeper hole by having sacks or miscues. Because, I mean, it's tough to roll in on the road in general. It's even tougher to come into a place where there's 110,000 people screaming, wanting to have your quarterback sacked, throw an interception, or what have you.
Yeah, and so I guess you're... Any thoughts, any predictions come in this week? I mean, we just mentioned how the defensive line can really have a big disruption impact, and they're going to need to, considering Rutgers loves to throw the ball, and Ohio State's defensive backs, I'm still not completely convinced by them, even though they had a really promising showing against Maryland. So do you think they're still just going to go with their same old game plan, or do you think they're going to maybe go a little bit more conservative and try to stop people from, like, Bosa and Michael Bennett potentially to disrupting their play?
I think for Rutgers, they're going to go for broke, I think, in this game. I think they're going to take the chances on second and 8 or 9. They're going to go for maybe 20, 30 yards on a pass play. I think you almost have to at this point, because you're already favored as the underdog. That's weird. Favored as the underdog. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
But they are the underdog in this game, and it's not even close. So, if anything, you need to get momentum back. And how you get momentum, I would look at how Virginia Tech did it. You got to make big plays on third and whatever. If it's third and 9, pick up 12. Third and 18, pick up 21, 22. You have to do that, but more importantly, you got to get points off each drive. You can't afford a punt. You can't afford a fumble. You at best got to get a field goal, and that's a lot easier said than done. Because I mean, we saw what Ohio State's defense can do against the likes of Cincinnati, Kent State, Maryland. Rutgers is in that same boat, so expect Michael Bent to maybe get a couple sacks, Joey Bosa to get some hurries, and probably a couple sacks too. Watch some blitz packaging schemes from the Buckeye defense, just to show Rutgers who's boss, and really a welcome to the Big Ten kind of deal for them.
And that's a homecoming game this coming Saturday at Ohio Stadium, kickoff at 3:30. You can listen live to Jeff and the gang at ohiostatesports.net. Definitely should be tuning in. I listened in to the Maryland game. It was a good call. And then also make sure you check out thelantern.com. Immediately after the game, we'll have our recap up and then a few features dissecting everything that went on during the play. But, Jeff, really appreciate you being on the episode this week, and we'll speak to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me again, Grant. Very good show. We talked a lot about football this week.
Yeah, it was a good one. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Good to talk to Jeff as ever, and we'll be looking forward to that matchup between the Buckeyes and the Scarlet Knights this Saturday. Elsewhere in Ohio State athletics, there was a great week for women's volleyball, scoring a pair of home upsets, beating number 15 Illinois last Wednesday. They were down 14-10 in the final set, but the Buckeyes rattled off six straight points with junior outside hitter Elizabeth Campbell with the final service to clinch the victory. They then beat number 24 Northwestern in four sets, setting a school record by recording back-to-back-to-back wins against ranked opponents. Sophomore libero Valeria Leone picked up the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week award for performances, claiming 12 digs against the Illini and 19 against the Wildcats. The team has a road doubleheader this weekend, first a trip to Bloomington to face Indiana at 7 on Friday night. Then they visit number 14 Purdue on Saturday at 7 as well. Men's soccer, coming off two upset victories, fell by a lone goal to Oakland on Wednesday. OSU could only force the opposing goalie Wes Mink into two saves. Then, on this past Sunday, they lost to number 10 Indiana 2-1. Junior defender Kyle Culbertson brought the Buckeyes level with a penalty kick in the 77th minute, but just 48 seconds later, the Hoosiers took the lead once again through Jay McIntosh. Culbertson did have a chance, though, to get a draw for OSU when the team was awarded another PK in the final minutes, but he saw his efforts saved, and the visitors took the victory. The team's next game is Saturday at 7 at Wisconsin before they return to Columbus for their final three regular season home games. The field hockey team lost at Rutgers 3-2 last Friday in its Big Ten opener. Two goals in the space of 5 second half minutes put the Scarlet Knights up 3-1, and OSU could only respond with a consolation goal from junior back Emma Royce. Things did get better, though, on Sunday, as the Buckeyes claimed a 3-1 home victory over Kent State. Freshman Maddie Humphrey continued her impressive debut campaign with two more goals. She leads the team in that category with 11, and she was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week on Tuesday, the third time she's received the honor this season. The Buckeyes face number 18 Indiana on the road Friday before hosting number 12 Iowa on Sunday, and Friday's matchup begins at 3, Sunday's at noon. Women's hockey had a tough weekend over up at number 2 Wisconsin, losing 6-0 on Friday night and then 3-0 on Saturday. But freshman goalie Cassie Suave did have 44 saves in Saturday's defeat. They'll hit the ice this weekend back in Columbus to host Bemidji State. Friday night's contest is at 7, and Saturday's is at 7 past noon as of now, so you can definitely check that out if you're going to be around the campus for the football game at 3:30. Then finally, women's soccer had the second consecutive draw. They drew with the Maryland Terrapins, and sophomore forward Nichelle Prince scoring her first goal of the year. The team does hit the road for a game at Michigan State on Thursday at 3:30 on Big Ten Network before traveling to number 24 Michigan on Sunday. Kickoff in Ann Arbor is set for 2 p.m. Well, again, thanks for listening to the Campus Chimes. Be sure to check out the Lantern's final two print editions of the week on Thursday and Friday. You can also read all of the articles on thelantern.com. For those who'd like to listen in to either of the hockey team's games this weekend, you can, as we mentioned before, tune to ohiostatesports.net to hear Matt and company call those games. And if you're not able to get to a TV for the football game Saturday, Jeff and some other great broadcasters will be on the call at the same website. You can follow us on Twitter at The Lantern and also at Lantern Sports, and check us out at our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheLanternOSU. Also, Tim Moody, James Greger, and myself will be at Saturday's football game, and so you can follow along with us on Twitter if you'd like. But in the meantime, thanks again for listening so much, and we'll speak to you again next week on the Campus Chimes.